I invite you to remain standing for the reading of God's matchless word. This morning, St. Luke records this portion of the greatest story ever told. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And now may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, for thou art our strength and our redeemer. And if through the words of a man we hear not the voice of God, then speak to each of us in the quietness of the heart. Amen. I remember it as though it was yesterday. It was spring 1973, and I was entering the third grade. And I remember that spring receiving what I still consider one of the greatest treasures of my life: my third grade official red Methodist Cokesbury RSV Bible. I still have it in my office. The cover has cracked off of it. Well, it's 1973, and you remember in 1973, no respectable family in this country could get by without a station wagon. I mean, this is pre-SUV day. Don't give me the SUV business. I mean, it's the station wagon where you threw the kids and everything you had in the back. No seatbelts required, remember? We just hung out. I remember that station wagon. It was brown. It was a brown Plymouth, as I remember. I remember that station wagon. And I remember the day we headed home from church and I held in my hand my third grade Bible. And I remember the very first passage that I ever looked up in my very own third grade Bible, and it was this portion of the greatest story ever told. I was delighted that I could actually find Luke. And being in the third grade, I could find chapter 2 all by myself, and I read it over and over and over again. I have that wonderful memory. As I was reading this passage for today's message, I was struck again with two words that really speak to my heart today. Luke chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible simply records these words: And suddenly, I'm gripped by those words. Let me set the stage. Shepherds were abiding in the fields. We don't know much about these shepherds, but they are shepherds to whom God decides to make the greatest announcement ever made to the human family. Now, we don't know their background, their character. We don't know much about them. We might assume that these were godly men who were part of the Hebrew family, that God would speak to them. But he speaks the word of hope unto you, the least in society. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And what starts as one angel speaking this dulcetone, this note of hope, this note of new life, the Bible says, and suddenly, what began as a single note of hope swells into a chorus maybe, just maybe, almost as good, maybe, maybe, almost as good as this great chorus. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, what? Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Well, that's a marvelous statement and it rolls off the tongue. It's not a really good Greek translation. We probably ought to translate this. Peace on earth and peace on those on whose God's, peace on earth upon those upon whom God's favor rests. You see, it just doesn't roll off the tongue, does it? It just doesn't work real well, but that's what it means. God's peace, God's favor resting on all of his people, male and female, and well-to-do and less to well-to-do. Those God has chosen and those God will yet choose. But what I want to focus on for just a minute this morning is these shepherds who were just doing their job, who were just simply being faithful. And suddenly, everything changed for them. No, they still remained shepherds. No, they didn't win the Georgia lottery. No, they didn't become rich or famous. Something far more profound happened to them. A new direction. A word of hope. A spark of passion begins in their lives. How do we know this? Because after the chorus of the angels, the Bible says, and they went with haste. What does that old-fashioned word haste mean? They double-timed it. They were on a mission with haste. They went to Bethlehem and found the message of the angel to be exactly true. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And then the Bible says, they went back with equal haste with a central purpose, to publish abroad, to tell to all they knew what they had discovered and found and all that they had experienced with the baby. I wonder, have you ever had an and suddenly moment? You're doing your job, you're living your life, you're being faithful as you understand faithful, but life is just sort of, well, just sort of life. But then, an and suddenly moment. I remember my first really profound and suddenly moment. I was a sophomore in college, and you know, I was trying to be a good college boy and study well and spend my dad's money wisely. I was trying really hard to, you know, study to show myself approved, and, you know, I was a good boy. I didn't stay out too terribly late. I did get in real bad trouble one time. My parents don't know this. In the old days, there were rechargeable fire extinguishers. And my roommate and I got a hold of one of those, and we just cracked open the window of our third-story dorm room and stuck the nozzle out and started pegging people with the fire extinguisher right out in front of Penland Hall. Ooh, Mr. Randall, the resident assistant, who found room 331 quickly. But that was the only bad thing I did the whole time that I was in college. But I redeemed myself by singing in the chancel choir of the First United Methodist Church in Waco, Texas, every Sunday morning. And that was an enormous mission-minded church, a choir of 100+, live on television at 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. I sat in the back row next to Mr. Dudley. I had to look up to find Mr. Dudley. He was as tall as his voice was low. And I remember very clearly sitting in the last row of the choir loft, under the television lights, you know, you could sing and get a suntan all at the same time. When our senior minister, Dick Freeman, still one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard, was waxing eloquently, and I could not remember a thing he was saying. But something happened inside of me. You see, I was searching. I mean, life was good for me, but I was searching. Life seemed to be a straight path. I thought I was going to be an attorney. I mean, I might have turned out to be a judge. I mean, life was great. But I was searching. And in the middle of Dick Freeman's sermon, I remember profoundly the lights in my eyes, just bowing my head to pray. And as surely as I am standing here touching this Bible, there was a hand that put fingers underneath my chin and lifted my head up. I couldn't resist it. It just was calling me from an attitude of prayer to an attitude of praise. I didn't hear an angelic chorus. I saw a bright light, and I know it was the television lights. But I had an "and suddenly" moment that changed my life, because it reoriented my passions, it reoriented my priorities, it gave me a real sense of mission for me. I wonder, have you ever had an "and suddenly" moment in your life? It was my first semester as a college freshman, the autumn of 1982, when I received a note from home. Remember when you actually had to go to a mailbox and actually open it to get your mail? None of this email business. And it was the bulletin from my church. Our home church is Dunwoody United Methodist. And in those days, the Reverend Melton McNeil was our senior minister. I will always be grateful for his encouragement in my ministry. And on the front page are some words that I keep close to me. In fact, it resides on my desk in my office, right on the top. It's titled "God Moments." Reverend McNeil wrote, "God moments. Have you ever experienced one? That split second in time when you know the presence of another, capital A, another, is a God moment. It can take place as you view the beauty of nature. How can a sea or a mountain scene not evoke an awareness of him? A poem that touches the heartstring, a story in the newspaper gives you a celestial glance, perhaps in communication with a friend, a word passed, a phrase spoken, and God seems especially near. A touch of a friendly hand at that moment, most crucial in your life, and you feel that God has touched you. God moments take place in the worship hour each Sunday. You expect it then. However, it is available all the time. Be aware. Be expectant. Open your eyes. Listen with your ears. You would be amazed to discover how many ways God reveals himself. After all, didn't Jesus say, 'Lo, I am with you always'?" And then at the bottom, my mother surely won the penmanship award. I don't think we teach penmanship anymore, but in a day where one's handwriting really mattered, she wrote this very brief sentence that continues to bless my life. "To John, I hope your life has many God moments. Love, Mother." As we approach a new year, my prayer for you is that we can be together and wait expectantly like the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. For that word, that phrase, that touch, that image, that vision, that supernatural something extra in the midst of our daily faithfulness, providing for family, pleasing the boss, paying the bills, that supernatural and suddenly moment when your heart comes alive, when your imagination is sparked, and when you discover a passion worth living. And suddenly, for the shepherds, everything changed. A God moment. Be here every Sunday in 2012. Let's gather expectantly and listen and look and watch and pray together. And suddenly, Merry Christmas. Amen. As we prepare to conclude our time together this morning, I invite you to find the white connection card in your worship folder. I don't know how long we've been doing these connection cards, but I can't really communicate to you how much it means to me to feel a connection with you. If you're a guest in our presence or have not been here in a while, we not only like to know of your presence on the front side, but on the back side, an opportunity to respond to the movement of God's Spirit in worship on Sundays, internalizing the promise of His Word, indicating a desire to become a part of this great congregation, to learn what it really means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. But at the bottom is your opportunity to invite me to be on your spiritual support team, to pray with and for you. Tuesday is the day that I set aside, and I'm honored in the ways that you share your heart with me. I'd like to pray with you this week for an and suddenly moment in your life. And as the music plays, if you're led, share with me where you are on your spiritual journey and how I can be a support to you today and in the year to come. Then when you're finished, just fold it over, if you will. It's nobody's business. And drop it with an usher in an offering plate as you leave the sanctuary. And know that this week I will be praying for you an and suddenly moment. This has been an extraordinary season of celebration, and I am so grateful for the staff and volunteers of this church that have made these weeks of Advent preparation such a joy. You know, there are a lot of churches in Atlanta today that called off worship for a religious holiday. I don't understand it myself, but aren't you glad we could be together? And we are together because of the faithfulness of this staff and magnificent volunteers like the chancel choir. You know, we are always better together. Receive now the benediction, God's good word for your life, and the seal and the sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace. Perfect Christmas peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.